Today's shiur is Masechet Bava Metzia, Daf Kuf Tezvav. And we will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. As we have been learning, the halacha, the Torah is very specific in teaching us the halacha is that you're not allowed to enter the malva may not enter the loiva's home to get a mashkin. And as we have been discussing, it's a very specific situation the Torah speaks about. Torah speaks about a situation where he lent money and the due date for paying comes, and after the due date for paying comes, the loiva doesn't pay, and at that time he wants to take a mashkin, a security for the money that he's owed. And the Torah teaches us a number of halachas. One halacha is that the malva may not enter the home of the loiva, and furthermore, as we learned, the mashkin that he does receive, he has to give back to the loiva if the loiva needs it. If it's something he needs by day, it's something he needs by night. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishkan Ayumais, if he got a mashkin and then the loiva dies, the halacha is Shomtei Magabe Bonav. Shomtei Magabe Bonav is as follows. We've learned many times that the halacha is that Betata D'Yasni L'Mishtabdi L'Bal Choyv, meaning that if a person passes away and he owed money, so there is a lien on his real estate. There is no lien on his metaltlin. Says the Gemara, these metaltlin that the Yisoyimim that were a mashkin to the malva are considered subject and meshubit to the chayif. Mishkan, amayis shem to magab abonav. In fact, the Rishonim say it's so subject to be paid to the chayif that even though till now we've been learning that the malva may not enter the home of the loiva, he's not allowed to enter the home of the loiva when the loiva is alive and there's the mashkin that he wants to get. But here, where the loiva died, he could even enter the home of the loiva's children to take that mashkin that is subject to his loan. May say, ask the Gemara, it says in the Braisa, Amra Meir, v'chi mi'acha shemashkinim, lama marzirin. If the halach is that we take a mashkin, as we learned at the beginning of our shir, why must it be returned? Stops the brayse immediately. Lama machzirin? What kind of question is that, lama machzirin? Rachmana machheder. As we said, the Torah is very clear that a mashkin that the malva receives, he has to return to the loiva if he needs it. Ask the Gemara. What Rameya means to ask is, alam achash machzirin. If we're going to have to return it anyway, so what's the point of taking the mashkin? If the malva is going to have the obligation to constantly have to give it back, what's the point? The answer is for two reasons. The halacha, as we know, is that Shemitah cancels all loans. But if there's a mashkin on a loan, Shemitah doesn't cancel it. And the Gemara here is teaching us that that's why he gets this mashkin, in order to avoid the Shemitah problem. And the second reason that we just discussed a moment ago, for Loyas Metaltlin Etzlbonov, that if the loiva were to die, he has a lien on these Metaltlin. And the Rishash points out that the reason of Loyas Metaltlin Etzlbonov is a much stronger point than Shleitei Shvius Misham to say. First of all, Shemitah doesn't always come. And number two, he says Shemitah comes Erev Rosh Hashanah, and something that's by the loiva, Erev Rosh Hashanah may be subject. So what do we see? Tama, why is the halacha that these metaltlin that were taken as a mashkin will not be subject to Shemitah, and he will be able to have a lien on them if the loiva were to pass away? Because hado mashkinei, loy hado mashkinei loy. He has to keep on taking it. And only because he keeps on taking it, that's why it's not going, there's no problem. From here we see, ask the Gemara, that unless the malva has in possession the mashkin when the loiva dies, or unless the malva has in possession the mashkin when Shemitah begins, the halach is that the loan would be cancelled. The halach is there would not be, so, there would be no lien on it. But we started the shiur with Rabbi Yochanan's words, that Rabbi Yochanan says that as soon as it was taken as a mashkin, even if the malva right now doesn't have it, Shemitah won't affect it, and it will be subject to pay. So how do we reconcile the Braisa? Answers the Gemara. V'lav terutzu kometarets lo. We anyway had to amend this Braisa, says the Gemara. Because right away we amended it on the bottom of Amud Beis. When the simple wording of the Braisa seemed to ask, why does he have to keep on returning the Mashkin? And the Gemara immediately commented, what do you mean? What kind of question is that? The Torah tells us to do it. El teretz hachi. So the way to understand the Braisa is, if the Aloch is that he's going to have to return it every day, lom and mashkin and shloim kara. What's the point of taking the mashkin? Answers the Gemara, shloitei shvius misham tosai. So the Braisa teaches us because like that you avoid a shvius, shmita, canceling the debt, and you avoid the layas mitatan leitzabanov, that you could have a lien on it if the lover were to pass away. Ask Tosfos the obvious question. So now that we've reconciled the Braisa and Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, and we understand, says Tosfos, what's the reason to take the mashkin? Because you accomplish two goals with it. You avoid Shemitah canceling it, and you create a lien on these metaltlin were the loiva to die. But Rabbi Yochanan says the moment you do it, and we took it as a mashkin, you've accomplished that. So what's the point, asked Tosfos, of the malva going through this whole system of every day giving it back and taking it and giving it and taking it? You wanted to create it as a mashkin to accomplish what the Gemara says you need to accomplish. You accomplished it as soon as you took it as a mashkin. Why do you have to keep on going back and forth, back and forth? Answers Tosfos, you accomplished two things. If you took it only once as a mashkin, and you created it to be a mashkin, and then you were to give it back, then you would have a problem, says Tosfos, because the loiva could say, it's not a mashkin, I paid you off and it's mine. By constantly taking it, you keep it in the status of a mashkin. It's one teretz Tosfos gives. Another teretz Tosfos gives is a very simple teretz. The malva is anxious that the loiva should pay off his debts. It's certainly not pleasant to the loiva that the malva takes his mashkin and every day he returns it and everybody sees this going back and forth, forth and back. And what is the malva's goal? The malva's goal is to get the loiva to pay. This is the way you're going to get him to pay. So yes, a mashkin becomes as soon as he takes it. But his goal is not to get a mashkin. His goal is to get paid. And this is a way to get the loiva to pay. It's an incentive to get the loiva to pay. Tana Abonim. The pasuk says, Leisova abeisa lavar avaitai. You're not allowed to enter to the loiva's house to take the mashkin. Lebeisi ata nichnas. Avata nichnas lebeisa shel orif. You're allowed to enter the home of a guarantor to take a mashkin. The Rishonim debate why. Rabbeinu Yonason has a very interesting pshat. Rabbeinu Yonason says that, as we said at the beginning of our shir, all of the halachas that we've been discussing, that the Torah mentions, is specifically a mashkin that's taken after the due date came and the loiva didn't pay. A mashkin, which is the typical situation of a mashkin, that's taken when the loan is made, is not subject to these halachas. Says the Rabbeinu Yonason, that a mashkin that the orev is always considered like a mashkin that's done at the time of the loan. That's what Rabbeinu Yonason explains the Gemara. Another pshat that the Rabbeinu Bechaya says is that a loiva, why did a loiva have to borrow money? He obviously was under pressure. He didn't have his own money. And therefore, to now also allow the malva to go into his home and take the mashkin is, so to speak, adding insult to injury. He already has enough tzaras. So the loiva has tzaras, and the Torah has rachmanis on the loiva. The Arav is fine. He's guaranteeing loans. He doesn't have this pressure, and therefore we allow the malva to go into his house. Another pshat, similar pshat, is here we come, as we've been describing, that the due date came. Not only did the loiva have to borrow money, but the due date to pay the money came, and he unfortunately could not pay up his debt. So it's a terrible situation for the loiva. And the Torah feels for him, and that's why the Torah says that the malva shouldn't enter his home. But the Arif didn't go through all of this, and therefore stress, and therefore the malva could go into his home. The Rishonim also suggest that we know there are two types of Arif. There's an Arif, which is the typical case of a guarantor, that if I lend you money, and you designate someone to be your guarantor, that if you won't be able to pay, the guarantor will pay. That's certainly who the Gemara is speaking about. But there's another type of Arif, known as an Arif Kablon. An Arif Kablon is a case where you designate a guarantor, obviously he has to agree, And that when I come to collect, I don't necessarily have to go to the Laiva. I could go to the Arav Kablin first. Many Rishonim suggest that an Arav Kablin has the same din as a Laiva. And just like you can't go into the home of the Laiva, you can't go into the home of the Arav Kablin. Al Gemara is speaking about a regular Arav, not an Arav Kablin. It could be that this question actually is connected to what we discussed a moment ago. What is the reason an Arav doesn't have to pay? Another Machlokes Rishonim is besides the halacha that we have been discussing, that a malva may not enter the home of the loiva to take the mashkin, that our Gemara clearly tells us does not apply ben arif. There are other rules to mention two of them. One rule is that, as we discussed earlier, you have to return the mashkin if the arif needs it every day or every night. The halacha is that, as we learned and will learn, if it's something that's keli f'oichel nefesh, you're not allowed to take it as a mashkin. The Rishonim debate, when the Gemara here says that Arev does not have the same din of a loiva, does it mean regarding all of the halachas we have been learning in the sugyas, or only the specific halacha of the malva entering the home of the loiva? And the Torah is teaching us that he can enter the home of the Arev, but the other halachas, the Arev is treated similarly to the loiva. Continues the Gemara. You could take his clothing because he became an Arev for a stranger. Vaimer, and the Pasuk says also in Mishlei, Bini, my son, im araftel reyacha, if you have agreed to become an Arev for someone else, tekat lazar katecha, you stuck out your hands for someone else, nekashta vimre picha, you accepted with your mouth certain obligations, sometimes you get caught up because of what you say. Do this, and you'll be saved. Because now you're in the hands of somebody else. Explains the Gemara, what does the pasuk mean? If the person owes you, if you owe the person money, if you become a guarantor for somebody, you have to open up your hand and fulfill your obligation that you accepted upon yourself to be a guarantor. And if that doesn't work, and you offend somebody, you have to get a lot of people to try to appease him that he shouldn't be angry. Another lima that we have to this pasuk. You're not allowed to enter the home of the malva may not enter the home of the loiva. If you were hired to carry something for somebody, or you were hired to drive his donkey, if he rented from you a room, or he hired you to be a painter, the halacha that we're learning, that the malva may not enter the home of the loiva, does not apply in all of these situations. Again, the same machlokes Rishonim I quoted a moment ago applies here too. Is it specifically the halacha that the malva may not enter the home of the loiva? That halacha is excluded, but the other halachas remain? Or are all of the halachas not applicable? The Torah Tamima asks, why does the Gemara, what does the Braisa pick out from everything that you could do for somebody else, l'schat yuknus, that means you should be his painter. And if I agree to do some other job, what's so special about painting? So he says a very interesting teretz. He says in those days, people didn't hire painters. Everybody painted themselves. But what they did do is they didn't necessarily have the equipment, the brushes or whatever you need to paint. And they would rent the brushes and the other items they need to paint. And the Bryce is teaching us that not only are you allowed to go into the person who owes you money for a job you did for him, but even if you just rented him equipment and he didn't pay you, you have a right to go into his house to take a mashkin. Which means sometimes somebody owes me money, and then the person who owes me the money turns it into a hava. I go over to the person and say, you know, you owe me money. He says, listen, I know I owe you money. Can you do me a favor? I don't have the ability to pay you. Could we turn it into a loan? If I agree to that, so now it's a regular loan. And all the halachas of malva and loiva apply, As soon as it's turned into a loan, all of the halachas of Malva and Loiva apply, and I can't ask, and I can't go into his house. Says the Mishnah, Almana, this we're speaking about everyone else. But if the woman, if the person who owes you, the Loiva is an Almana, says the Mishnah, Ben Shia Niya, Ben Shia Shira, whether she's poor or whether she's wealthy, aim a mashkin, I say. You're not allowed to take a mashkin from her. Shenema, Lesach Bei Begel Almana. Now I take a mashkin from Almana. And there are a number of points that the Rishonim and Achronim debate in understanding this Mishnah. One question, going back to Sugi we learned 2 blad ago, is Shmuel taught us the following. Shmuel says that the Malva cannot enter the home of the Loiva, nor could the Malva ask the Loiva for a mashkin in the street. A Shlich Bezdin, Shmuel says, may not enter the home of the Loiva, but he can ask for a mashkin in the street. When our Mishnah says that aim a mashkin almana, what does that mean? So one pshat the Rishonim say is that here it's only talking to the Malva, but the Loiva, the Shliach Bezdin, will even be allowed to go into the home of the almana. The din that Shmuel said about Shliach Bezdin doesn't apply by almana. Other Rishonim, however, disagree. And they say that the same, whatever the din will be by a regular Malvis Loiva situation, the halacha here will be that Shliach Bezdin can't even approach her in the street. Another question that's asked is, who is the almana that we're referring to? Who is the almana that we're referring to? Some Paiskim say, the Shach says this, that it's specifically an almana. The Torah has specific rachmanas on almana. The Sma says it's not only an almana, it's even a grusha. And the Taz says it's an almana and a grusha and a psula, any single woman. Because as we're going to learn in the Gemara in a moment, the Torah was concerned about her reputation. So it makes no difference what type of a single woman she is. Any single woman, we have to be concerned. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Almana, Ben She'aniya, Ben She'ashira, it makes no difference if she's poor or she's wealthy, Eim a mashkin, I said, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, you know, I'll take a mashkin from her. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ashira, a mashkin, I saw, a wealthy person we're allowed to take a mashkin from, and Nia, Eim a mashkin, I said, but from a poor person, you can't take a mashkin. Why? Shatachayev lahachsalai, as we're learning, if you take a mashkin, and the person needs the item that was taken as a mashkin, the Torah teaches us, you have to return it every day or every evening. And you cause it to have a bad reputation that you're keeping on going to her home. Says the Sefer Urim Tumim, he has a way to avoid the problem. Have a woman be your do the mashkin for you. What's the worry about the bad reputation? There won't be a bad reputation if it's a woman going. That's how Urim Tumim learns. The Chachmas Menayich disagrees, and it goes back to something we discussed in the Mishnah. Because in the Mishnah we said it's always a Shliach Bezdin who takes the Mashkin. Bezdin is always going to appoint a man as a Shliach, not as a woman. So the situation that the Urim V'Tumim tries to devise, that's the woman taking the Mashkin, and therefore you don't have to worry about the reputation, says the Chachmas Menayich will never happen, because Bezdin appoints a Shliach, and Bezdin always appoints a man. So what do we see here? That what is the basis? There's a machloikus of Yehuda and of Shimon, a very famous machloikus, and the machloikus is based on do we explain pshat in the pasuk or not? Lememra, and what it seems to be, Rabbi Yehuda lo darish tam of the krah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Torah says Allah, we follow the Allah, we don't start to explain. Rav Shimon tries to understand why the Torah says something. Rav Shimon darish tam of the krah. So the Mefarshim, in helping us understand the Gemara, say everybody agrees. The Rambam speaks about this in the Sefer Mayor and the Vuchim. Everybody agrees that, of course, we have to try to understand. The Torah is not a rule book that we should understand. We have to try to understand the why Torah says what it says. The machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is now that we've understood the why, does that have an impact on our action? Rabbi Yehuda says, even though we know why the halacha was said, it doesn't change that we have to follow what it says. Rav Shimon says, no, the reason has an impact on what we should do. Ask the Gemara, Asma, we learned just the opposite. The Tanya, the Torah speaks to a melech, the Mishnah says in the Sanhedrin, the melech is not allowed to have too many wives. We know that the Mishnah says he's not allowed to have more than 18 wives. Machlokes Rishonim, is it strictly wives or even plakshim are included? Rabbi Yudayma, Mabahu, he can have more. As long as the wife is a wife that is a observant, religious, fine woman that will not cause him to go away from the way of Hashem, we're fine. Rishimona, I feel achas, the himasiris liba. To marry any woman, she could be the greatest, even one woman, but she has this tendency that will have a bad influence on him, that we don't, you should never marry even one inappropriate woman. What does the Torah mean that you're not allowed to have more wives? I feel Avigayil. Even if you marry a woman like Avigayil, such a great tzaddikus, you can't marry more than 18 wives. So what do we see here? Rabbi Yehuda is saying, the Torah says that a melech is not allowed to marry many women because they're going to cause him to act inappropriately. And where that concern isn't there, marry as much as you want. And Rabbi Shimon says, it doesn't make a difference. The Torah says you can't. It's just the opposite. Here, Rabbi Shimon isn't looking at the reason, and Rabbi Yehuda is looking at the reason. Answers the Gemara, Lailam Rabbi Yehuda Loi Darsh Tam of the Kra. Under normal circumstances, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't use the reasoning of the Pasuk. However, the Shani Hachi, here it's unique. The Mefarish Kra, the Pasuk is explicit in telling us, and the Torah is telling us, my tam lo yab lo noshim. Why should the melech not marry many wives? Mishim de lo yosu, because they're going to cause him to do the wrong thing. On the other hand, Rav Shimon says just the opposite. Michti. But alma dashin tam de kra. Normally we explain the reasoning. And the Torah doesn't give us the reason. It's our job to give the reasoning. So lech de rechmana. So here too, it should have been adequate. The Torah should have said la yarba, that he shouldn't marry many women. V'lebi'inen la yasser, and the Torah doesn't have to say the reason, because I know Yudana. We and ourselves will know my tam la yarba. Why should a melech not marry many women? Mishim de la yasser, because too many women could cause him to act inappropriate. La yasser de kas rachmana lemeli. So why did the Torah have to mention these words to teach us? Afila achas. Even if he marries one woman, Masiris Levi, and she makes him act inappropriately, Hareza La Yisana. So I saw a beautiful pshat in a medrash. The medrash says, "My tama malum mishmaina. Why do we make a bris on the 8 days? Shukain mol Avram as Yitzchak benoy. Avram did a mila on Yitzchak on the 8th day. And the medrash is a very difficult medrash to understand. The Torah says, "V'yom hashmini yim abzara lasa." Everybody knows that then. That the reason you do a bris on the 8th day is because the Torah says that's the day to do it. What's the Medrash says? Because Avram made the bris for Yitzchak on the 8th day. So I saw a beautiful pshat. The Gemara Masechet Nida says, why indeed is the halacha that we make? What did the Torah say? What did Hashem say that a bris should be made on the 8th day? So the Gemara says, "Shlo yikulam smeichem v'imay v'oviv atzevim." We know, says in Pashas Tazriya, Ishik Tazriya, V'yolda Zachar, V'tamash Shivas Yomim, Midaraisa, and I always emphasize, this is the Midaraisa, this is not the din nowadays. Midaraisa, if a woman has a baby boy, the first 7 days, she's Tamei no matter what, whether she is seeing Dam, whether she's not seeing Dam. And after 7 days, for the next 33 days, she's Tahor no matter what. By girls 14 and 66. So the first 7 days after the woman had a baby, the husband and wife can't have relations. So the Gemara says, they shouldn't be upset that they can't have relations, and everybody else is having a good time but a bris. But the 8th day, they can have relations, they're also going to be in the proper mood. So if we had, if we're following now our Gemara, and Rav Shimon Darish Tam of the Kra, what will be that if you have parents, they say, you know what? We're anxious to do the mila for our son, and we'll be in a great mood. Baruch Hashem, we had a son, we were able to make a bris mila. The fact that we can't have relations doesn't bother us. So, according to Rav Shimon, you can make the bris before the 8th day. So ask the Medrash, Mnei Ma Molin L'Shmoina, why does the Torah say that under all circumstances, we don't care what the parents say, the bris should not take place before the eighth day? Avram certainly was thrilled. He was 100 years old to have a son. He certainly didn't care that he can't have relations. He was Avram the Tzaddik, Tzari Imenu. They didn't care that they can't have relations. Yet when did they make the bris? The eighth day. So from here we see that here, even according to Rav Shimon, that's Dorish Talmud the Krah, the bris should never be before the eighth day, even though the reason for bris being the eighth day may not be relevant. Says the Mishnah. The Torah says, Lo yachbol richayim v'rechev. The Torah says, the word Lo yachbol richayim v'rechev, ki nefesh u'chayvel. Which means, we're not allowed to take from the loiva his millstone. The millstone was made of two parts. There's the richayim, which is the part that's on the ground, and the rechev is the stone, two stones, the upper stone. And they used to put the grain between the two stones, and like that they used to make a turn, and like that they ground the weight to have flour. And the Torah says, lo yachbol richayim v'rechev. This is a portable mill. In fact, we're starting to discuss what happens if it's a non-portable mill. So you can't take the mill. It's permanent in the ground. But if you take the key to the room where your permanent mill is that included in the category of lo yachbol richayim v'rechev, in that isser? Or the Torah only speaks about taking the actual mill. If you're not taking the actual millstones, even though you're preventing the loiva from getting to his millstone, maybe that's not what the Torah speaks about. But again, we'll learn the Mishnah simply. Hachayvelos richayim, if somebody takes the bottom stone, over lo sasei. He over lo sasei, v'chayim mishum shnei kelim. Shenema lo yachbol richayim v'chayim v'rechev. You take these two things, v'chayim v'chayim v'rechev. V'loy v'chayim v'rechev l'vat, not only is the halacha that you're not allowed to take the millstone, el kol dovish oisim v'echel nefesh. Anything that's used to prepare food may not be taken. Shenema ki nefesh u'chayvel. Although the Rishonim and the Sma paskins like this la'alocha, that even though the Mishnah, we're going to discuss this in the Gemara, say that you're not allowed to take any keli that's used for Eichel Nefesh, food itself is not in the category of Kenefesh Uchayvel, and food you could take. Ask the Gemara, or the Gemara begins. Amrafuna, Chavur Chayim, if somebody takes the bottom stone, Loikishtayim, he gets two Malkas. One is Mishum Richayim, or Mishum Kinefesh Uchayvel. And the other one is that he, as the Gemara quoted, the Pasuk says, Kinefesh Uchayvel. And the Rechayim is in the category of Eichel Nefesh. And therefore, you're not allowed to take, if you take the Rechayim, you're over two lavin. V'rechev, if he takes the Rechayim and Rechev, Loikisholish, you'll get three Malkas. You'll get Mishum Rechayim a Malkas, you'll get for Rechev a Malkas, and Mishum Nefesh Kichayvel a third Malkas. Machloikis Rishonim, how do we look? It doesn't necessarily have that much of an impact la'aloka. How do we look at Rechayim v'Rechev? Do we look at Rechayim v'Rechev as two separate Averis? That's the way most Rishonim learn. The Rambam seems to learn that Rechayim v'Rechev is the same Avera. But let's say somebody were to eat Macholos Asuras, and then he eats another time Macholos Asuras. He gets two Malkasin. The same, if you take the Rechayim and the Rechev, you did the same Avera twice, and you get two Malkas, and you also get Malkas for Kinefesh u'Chayvel. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Chavu Rechayim loika achas, v'revcha loika v'achas. Rechayim v'rechev, you take both the Rechayim and the Rechev, you indeed will get Shtayim. But you won't, if you take the Rechayim v'rechev, you won't get Malkas to Kinefesh u'Chayvel, because Kinefesh u'Chayvel, that pasuk, v'shvar u'dvar mudasam, is coming to teach us different dinim, nothing to do with Rechayim v'rechev. So Rishonim, Tosfos, the Rambam, other Rishonim, have a discussion. We know, Gemara Masechet Makos, but we've had the Gemara many times, that any lav hanitik lasei, you don't get Malkus for. So here, this is a lav hanitik lasei, because you can give it back. If you take something that you weren't supposed to take as a mashkin, give it back, and you corrected your aveira. And just like by Gzeilu, we learned the Masechet Bava Kama many times. If you steal, it's a lava nitikla, so you won't get malchus. Because the Heshev is a Gzeilu, you can give it back. So here too, you can give it back. Why are you over? So Taisus seems to learn that Al Gemara is referring to a situation that when is it considered a lava nitikla, say? That's the way I think the Mepharshim try to understand Taisus. When is it considered a lava nitikla, say? Is when you did the Aveira, you knew you're doing an Aveira. You knew you're doing something wrong, but it's an Aveira that could be corrected. But if when you did this act, you weren't aware you were doing anything wrong, we don't call that a lava nitik lasei. So if somebody took the Rechaim v'rechev, it's a chiddush. It's a very big chiddush. So that's why Taisus says it's not a lava nitik lasei. The Rambam says it's indeed a lava nitik lasei. So why do you get Malkus? So Rambam says a very interesting pshat. The Rambam says, the Gemara here says that you get Malkus because Rechaim v'rechev are lost or destroyed. So you can't return it. So it's not a lava nitik lasei anymore. The Ravid says another interesting pshat. He says, when is something considered a lava nitik lasei? Let's use the example of Gzeila. We said Gzeila is the prototype of a lava nitik lasei. The lava nitik lasei, says the Ravid, is when I steal something and you warn me you're doing an Aveira, and you tell me, and you can return it. And I don't respond. That's a lava nitik lasei. But let's say I steal something. And when I'm stealing and I'm getting that straw, I'm being told, give it back. And I say explicitly, I have no intention of giving it back. I have no intention of giving it back. Then it's no longer considered a lava nitik lasei. And according to Rav, this is the way Michas Chinuch explains to Rav, that's how we're going to understand our Gemara. That when the person took the Rechaim v'rechev, he said, he was warned, doing an Aveira, give it back. He says, I have no intention of giving it back. Ask the Gemara, Lema, Abaye v'Rava, should we perhaps say, a Gemara Masech, the Pesachim, that quotes the Machloikis of Abaye v'Rava, is the same Machloikis of Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, Kamefgi. That's the same Machloikis. And as we're going to see, right now, the Gemara Masech, the Pesachim, has Abaye and Rava debating what is the halacha regarding a lav shebeklolos. I'll explain that more in a moment. Ask Taisus, how could the Gemara suggest that the machloikus of Rav Huna of Yehuda is regarding a lav shebeklolos? We just explained explicitly what the machloikus is based on. That Rav Yehuda says we need the pasik for other limudim, and Rav Huna doesn't. So how can we say it has anything to do with lav shebeklolos? How do we understand this Gemara? Says Taisus that this is very common in the Gemara. That the Gemara, even though the Gemara gave us the reasoning of these mandamrim, the Gemara still explores that maybe there are other reasons that they base their positions on, and the Gemara wants to see if they're applicable to the situation. Damarava, we know the Torah says, regarding the Korban Pesach, the Korban Pesach we're not allowed to eat boiled. Is partially roasted. Umavushal is boiled. Ki im tzliesh. It has to be eaten roasted. Says the Gemara. Ochel no. If somebody ate the Korban Pesach when it was partially roasted, loikishtayim. He gets two sets of malchus. Mishim no. Because he ate it roasted and partially roasted, and as I just quoted, the Torah explicitly says you're not allowed to eat it partially roasted. Shim kitzli esh, and he was over. The Torah says you have to eat it roasted. Mevushel, if you ate it boiled, again says Rava like a shtayim. Mishum mevushel, because the Torah says don't eat it boiled, and he ate it boiled. Shim kitzli esh, not mevushel. If you ate it both partially roasted and cooked. Like a sholosh, you'll get three sets of malchus. You'll get a set of malchus because of Noah. You'll get a set of malchus because of Shemavosho. And you'll get a set of malchus because of Sechlenu Kim Tzliyesh. That's Rava's opinion. Abai Omer, ain't likin a lav shebeklolos. We don't get malchus on a lav shebeklolos. And as the Me'iri helps us understand what is a lav shebeklolos, says the Me'iri, there are two situations of a lav shebeklolos. We have an example. The Torah says, and the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin takes this pasuk and uses it to teach many different halachas. That you're not allowed to eat before you daven. This is regarding Hilchas Shechita. all sorts of halachas. That is certainly a lav shebeklalos. When we have one pasuk, and that one pasuk teaches us so many different, disparate rules, that's certainly a lav shebeklalos. Here, kiyim tzli eish, says Abaya, says the Meiri, is the subject of machloikis of Rav and Abaya of Tzalash Beklolos. Abaya says it's Tzalash Beklolos, because there are a lot of things that are included in Tzliesh that are not roasted. Partially roasted is not roasted. Boiled is not roasted. Rav says, since it all speaks to one subject, even though it has a lot of different details, but it's speaking about one specific subject. It's speaking how you're allowed to eat, what fashion you should eat the Karban Pesach. That's not considered a lav shebeklolos. And that's the machloikus of a bayin rova. If somebody eats the Karban Pesach not roasted, is besides for no or mevushal, is he also over get another set of malchus to yakim tzliyesh? Says the Gemara. Now the Gemara wants to connect the two machloikusin. Leima abaya dom k'Rav Yehuda. Abaya will hold like Rav Yehuda. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, just like Rabbi Yehuda says here, that if you take the Rechaim V'Rechev, you won't be over for Kinefesh Shuchayvel, because Nefesh Shuchayvel speaks about all Kalim for Eichel Nefesh. So Nefesh Shuchayvel turns into being Lav Shebeklolos. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda, says the Gemara, is like a buyer, Rabbi Yehuda, hold you don't get Malkus. Whereas, V'Rava, the Amak Rav Huna. And therefore, just like Rava held there, the Kiyum Tzliyesh is not considered a Lav Shebeklolos, Kinef Shuchayvel is also not considered a Lav Shebeklolos. Says the Gemara, Amalach Rava, the two Machloikas are not connected. And no, Damre Filik Rabbi Yehuda. My position could concur with Rabbi Yehuda. Because at Kanlai Kama, Rabbi Yehuda Hossam, specifically by the Pasuk of Kinef Shuchayvel, says, Kinef Shuchayvel lo mash Merchayim Rechev. That doesn't include Rechaim V'Rechev. Why doesn't it include Rechaim V'Rechev? Because Rechaim V'Rechev already mentioned explicitly in the Torah. Why does it come to teach us? L'chashad Var Mudasa. It's coming to teach us other Kelim of Eichel Nefesh. But it's not coming to teach us Rechaim V'Rechev. I don't need Rechaim V'Rechev to be taught. It's already mentioned explicitly. Aval Hocha, whereas over here, K'si'os Eish L'mayosa. Why does the Torah have to answer the word K'si'li Eish? The Torah already said that you're not allowed to eat it. No, you're not allowed to eat a Mavosho. Shema mina belav. It must be coming to teach us that you get another set of malchus. V'abayu amaloch. And Abayu says, on the contrary, another amir filler of Huna. My position could be consistent with Rav Huna. At kan lekamer Rav Huna hasam the ki nefesh shuchayvel yaseiruhu. The words nefesh shuchayvel are extra. Why does Rav Huna consider them extra? Because ruchayim v'rechev. What is the characteristic of ruchayim v'rechev? Ruchayim v'rechev is a keli for eichel nefesh. So the Torah could have just said Rechaim V'Rechev, and I could have easily learned from Rechaim V'Rechev that any Keli, which is an Eichel Nefesh Keli, the Mava may not take from the Loiva. Why did the Torah have to add the words Kinefesh U'Chayel? The Kinefesh U'Chayel Yiseiruhu, Kivin Yiseiruhu, since it's extra, Shad Rechaim V'Rechev, it's come to teach us that any Keli, even the Rechaim V'Rechev that you take, you'll be over this Lav, a separate Lav. Aval Hocha, regarding the Pasuk by the Karban Pesach, says Rav Huna, says Abaya, says Rav Huna, Aval Kiri Tzliyesh Lavi Seiruhu. The Boile, because we needed to teach us another Halacha, L'chatanya, to teach us the following din. V'shosh yesh lo b'kom achoyot tzli, yesh lo b'baal toichol no. V'shosh eno b'kom achoyot tzli, eno b'baal toichol no. Which means as follows. We know that the Karban Pesach has to be eaten before Chatzos. There's a question regarding Daf Kaim, regarding Matzah. But regarding Karban Pesach, there's no question. You have to eat it before Chatzos. So we've been discussing that the Karban Pesach can't be eaten, nor the Karban Pesach can't eat Mevushal. If somebody eats a nor Mevushal, he gets Malkus. It's only a Shaila how many sets of Malkus he gets. When will he get the Malkus? Only if you ate it before Chatzos. Because if you ate the Karban Pesach in the time, which is the time that you're supposed to eat the Karban Pesach, and you ate it in the wrong way, that's when you'll get Malkus. But if you ate the Karban Pesach after Chatzos, even though you ate it non Mevushal, since now it's no longer the Zman to eat the Karban Pesach, you won't get Malkus. That's what the Pasuk is teaching us. But the Pasuk is not teaching us that you'll get another set of Malkus for eating it non Mevushal.